title of this message is The Vultures on the Loose. The Vultures are on the Loose. The griffin vulture had been a bird. In the Hebrew, it's called a wing flapper. In the Lakota language, it's called a wombly or a wing flapper. These wing flappers have been known to follow great wars. Nebuchadnezzar, Alexander the Great, when they were doing their war campaigns, the griffin vultures followed them. The griffin vultures followed them. They were on the loose. Down in Old River, California, there is a grove down there. It was planted around 1820 or 30 by an English colony. It was an English colony called the Gosford Colony. We live on Gosford Road down in California when we're there. And they have vultures down there, big vultures, and they are always out looking around for something dead. And wherever you see them flying around and landing, there's something dead there. Now, the griffin vultures followed Napoleon. They followed the Roman armies. They followed Nebuchadnezzar. They followed Alexander the Great, Cyrus the Great. And they followed the armies in World War I. They followed the armies in World War II. Wherever there was dead, they were there. Wherever the dead were, they were there. The vulture is a garbage disposal that God created for that purpose. A garbage disposal. A vulture can eat anything, no matter how bad it is or how spoiled it is, and just thrive. Long time ago, among Indian remedies and folklore, it was said that a vulture, if you caught a vulture and put him in a pot and put a lid on it and cooked him until there was nothing left but broth, feathers, guts, and all, cooked him down to where there was nothing but broth left, that if a person had leprosy, if you made them drink that broth, that they would cure leprosy. Well, one time, and up at Tajon Ranch, there was a young boy. It was a very nice-looking young boy, and he played a guitar, and everybody liked him, and he got leprosy. And a couple of the cowboys felt sorry for him, and they saw him sitting out in the graveyard playing his guitar. He was sitting out there getting ready to die. They caught a vulture up there, probably a California condor, up on the Tajon Ranch, put him in a pot and cooked him all up, and drained the broth off of it, and grabbed that boy and poured that concoction down his throat. And the legend says that he was cured of leprosy. Well, these vultures here that we're going to talk about are participants in the great battles to come, of what we call Armageddon. Let's read this in the Greek language, and then we'll go back in the English language and translate it. And read it from the Amplified Bible also. Hupo eon eto toma. Eke sin ak the sonte hoe etoi. Wherever it may be, it may become the carcass. The word toma there it comes from the word pipto in Greek, which means a fallen body, a fallen body. And this is translated over into the Latin, cato, which means to fall, and we get our word cadaver from this. A cadaver is a dead body. Wherever it may be, the dead body, the fallen one, There shall they be called to assemble. They shall be called to assemble the vultures, the Aetoi. Aetoi, the vultures. These vultures followed Napoleon's retreat from Russia. These Russian vultures. It is like the Shikamiatatanka. Now that's Lakota Indian, and so I am Lakota, and about five different tribes of Indian. I'm Lakota. I am Dakota also. I am Brule Lakota, and Dakota, Santee Dakota. I am Ojibwe, Chickasaw, and Cherokee Indian. But the language that I learned to speak was Lakota. Now, in the Lakota language, there is a word, Shikamiatatanka. And that is my name, by the way, in Greek. In Indian, it's traveling dog. Shikamiatatanka. Shikamiatatanka. The word shuka means dog. But Shikamiatatanka means the great dog, the big dog. Now, the great buffalo wolf followed the buffalo herds. And when one was sick and dying or wounded or something, the buffalo herd was like the buffalo wolf was like the vulture. It would clean up the carrion. Clean up the carrion. The Cato, the fallen ones. Verse number 29. Euthios de meta tain klipsen ton hemeron ekainon ho helios skoti thesete kai he thelima thelina u dose to figos altes kai hoi asteros pisonte apo tu oranu kai he dinames ton oranon salu thesonte. Immediately after the tribulation, the affliction, the trauma of the days. And we're talking about the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking about previews of the second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Previews of coming attractions. Used to, when I went to the movies when I was young, in the movie houses, they would have previews of coming attractions. And even if you buy a DVD today, you will see previews of coming attractions on those DVDs. And this is a preview of coming attractions, that the Lord Jesus Christ is coming back here. At the end of the church age, I believe there will be a rapture. A rapture. That's a Latin word. That's where we get our word rapture from. And there will be a rapture of the church and all the saved. And then all hell will break loose on earth. There's going to be a great revival because a lot of those churches that don't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified and died, buried, and resurrection, they're going to still be here. And maybe some of those people are going to be saved because they didn't get to go. They missed the boat. And the Jews, even though they're back in their land to some extent today, they have got a tremendous trauma facing them. They're going to affront a terrible drama. And this is the trauma that is talking about here, the previews of coming attractions. For the first part of this tribulation period, the Jews are going to make a covenant, according to the Bible, with the Antichrist. And they're going to build a temple in Jerusalem. They're going to have sacrifices. And according to Islamic eschatology, the Mahdi will come out of Assyria. He will be aligned with later with a beast out of Arabia and a false Christ out of Arabia, Isa, or Jesus. Their Jesus, not the Jesus of the Bible. And they will build this temple in Jerusalem, and they will have services, and they will just be on top of the world, they think, for a while. They're going to move the cobblestone from Mecca to Jerusalem. And that will be where the Hajj will be, the pilgrimage will be. from that time on. This is going to be a temple of all beliefs and faiths to begin with. But then all of a sudden, something happens in the middle of the tribulation period. The Antichrist stands up in the temple and says that he is God. He says that he is God. And the Lord tells Israel, when you see this happen, get out here. Don't turn back. Don't do nothing. Get out. And immediately after the affliction of those days, the sun, it shall be, and we have the word here, skotizo or skotio, darkness. The sun shall be darkened, helios. The sun shall be darkened. And the selene, that's moon, the word selene. There was a great singer one time, Selena, and this is her name comes from moon. Not it shall give the light, the phingos, the light of her. And the stars, the asteros, and we get a word asteroid out of this word, asteros. They shall fall from the heavens. There will be asteroids and meteorites hitting the earth all over. You know that there is a ton added to the earth every day from meteorites falling to the earth? And we're putting space junk up there also. But about a ton a day, some scientists have said that it's added to the earth from the debris falling from the air, from the skies. Well, this is going to be multiplied a thousandfold. There are going to be asteroids hitting the earth. There was an asteroid here several years ago that hit Russia and killed a bunch of people. There was one that hit Russia and totally made it into a wilderness, one part of the what we call the outback there, the wilderness. In Arizona here, south of us, out there, Meteor City, there was a meteorite hit there with a tremendous tower that left a crater in the earth tremendous size, and that's what's going to happen during this time. And the asteroids, they shall fall. Now, what they said, people say stars, but it's actually asteroids. They shall fall from the heaven. And the powers of the heavens, they shall be shaken. The powers of heaven, the might of the heavens shall be shaken. Now, there's several ways to interpret that. The powers of the heavens is God. Number one, Satan, the prince and power of the air is Satan. But now there's going to be a great shakeup in power during this period of time. God is going to turn Satan loose on the earth. He's going to be turned loose. Also, the bottomless pit, during the middle of the tribulation period, there are angels so wicked and demons so wicked in the bottomless pit that come from the spiritual realm that they're going to be turned loose on the earth. They have never been turned loose before. But during this short period of time, 3.5 years, they're going to be turned loose on the earth. 24 and verse 38, Kai tote phonesete to se mion tu huyu tu antifu en uranu kai tote kok fonte passe he filetes geis. Kai opson te ton huion ton antropo ekomenon ephiton nephilon. Tu uranu meta dynamis kai. That's a long verse. Doxes palais. We're going to talk about the Son of Man shall appear now. And then there shall become a sign, caused to become a sign of the Son of Mankind into heaven. There will be a sign in the heavens from the Son of God, the Son of Man. And then they shall mourn and wail and cry out in anguish for themselves. They shall be caused to do this, and they shall for themselves wail and cry and sputter and weep many tears. All the tribes of the earth, all the nations, every ethnic background of the earth, and they shall see the Son of Mankind coming upon the Nephilim, upon the clouds. Up there, they will see him in the air. Now, in Acts, the first chapter, Jesus was taken up into heaven by the angels. And there were angels standing there by, and the disciples kept looking up into heaven, and they said, "Why do you look into heaven?" "You shall see the Son of Man coming back in his glory, like he left away." Well, they're going to see this. And the clouds of the heaven with power. That word dynamis, that's where we get the word dynamite from, that word. Great power and glory much. Jesus came as a slain lamb the first time, as a meek and mild, riding into Jerusalem on a donkey, a vehicle of peace. You know, a donkey won't go to war. The word donkey in the Hebrew means to walk carefully. Donald Grewar sent me a little message here a while back when I talked about the donkeys. And he said that one of his teachers said that a donkey will never trip over the same stone twice. They're very careful. They walk carefully. A donkey will not go into danger. They will not go into danger. Jesus came riding a donkey into Jerusalem the first time. The second time, he's going to come on a war horse. A white war horse. "And I've come as a lamb to the slaughter. But the next time, it shall be different. Israel shall have her sign, and he will come in all great power and glory." Verse number 31. Kai apostele tus angelos auto meta salpidos. Megales kai epi sinoxusen, tus eclectus auto ectu tesseron. Anamon op akron, uranon hios akron auton. And he shall send forth the with great authority, by the way, that word's apostle there. It's apostole, third person singular, future indicative, active. He shall send forth with great authority angels belonging to him with trumpets. Saltigos, salpingos, trumpets, great. And they shall ascend together the ones chosen, the elect, belonging to him, out of the four winds from the extremities of the heaven unto the extremities of them. Now, a trumpet was a tool, an instrument used to signal and to be employed to call armies together. Now, when Israel went into the Promised Land, they went over there to Jericho. And Jericho was a mighty fortified city. I have been there along 75 and 76. I was there. 1975 and 76. And the walls in Jericho did not crumble and fall down, as many people think. And many people have said that the walls of Jericho did not crumble and fall down, therefore the Bible was wrong. The walls of Jericho did not fall down. But the walls of Jericho did fall down, but in a different way than what we think. Joshua was ordered to walk around that city 7 days in a row, and at the end of that, to blow a trumpet. And at the blowing of that trumpet, the walls of Jericho would fall. The walls of Jericho did not crumble and fall. The walls of Jericho went right down into the ground. Poof! The ground swallowed the walls. And they're there intact, but underground. Now, that city had been occupied many times, and many times it had fallen, but this time they fell by the power of God. I was watching we get high-speed internet here in Fish Lake Valley, and we can watch documentaries. And I was listening to this archaeologist talk about all the land over there that he didn't believe this, and he didn't believe this in the Bible, and that that he think it was just a swarm of earthquakes that caused all of this problem and conquered those cities. Well, I'm going to tell you something. God is the God of the swarm of earthquakes. And if God used an earthquake to make the city walls of that city just go straight down in the ground, so be it. I have no problem with that at all. From the extremists of the heavens unto the extremists of them. The trumpet was used to signal and call armies together. And it also was used to signal and tell some to retreat or to charge or whatever. The sound of the trumpet, they listened intently for the sound of the trumpet, and that's what we're talking about. Let's go back and read these verses now, as we stop here on verse number 31. Let's go back where we started. 25, or 24, that is. Starting on 24, let's start back in verse number 26 and read forward. So if they say to you, he is in the wilderness, desert, do not go out there. If they tell you, lo, he is in a secret place or in the inner room, do not believe it. For just as lightning flashes from the east and shines even unto the west, so shall the coming of the Son of Man be. Wherever there is a fallen body, that's a patoma, remember, that is a cadaver, a corpse, there the vultures will flock together. As in Job 39:30. Verse number 29. And immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, and the moon will not shine her light, and the stars, the asteroids from heaven, will fall, and the powers of the heavens shall be shaken. Isaiah 13:10 and 34:4 and Joel 2:10 and Zephaniah 1:15 are cross-references to this verse. This just didn't happen, people. This was prophesied. Then the sign of the Son of Man will appear in the sky. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn and beat their breasts and lament in anguish, and they shall see the Son of Man coming upon the clouds of heaven with power and great glory in brilliance and splendor, as in Daniel 7:13 says. And he will send his angels out with a loud trumpet to call, and they will gather his elect, his chosen ones from the four winds, even from one end of the universe to the other. Zechariah 9:14 and Isaiah 27 verse 13. These are all things that are going to happen. Do you want to be here when that happens? I don't. Do you want to be here? I don't. The Jehovah's Witness brethren, they say, we don't want to go to heaven, we want to go to the kingdom. Well, if they're going to go to the kingdom, they've got to go through this. They can have it. Because that means they miss the rapture, the rapture. That means they're going to go in here, and if they didn't believe before the rapture, maybe some of them will become true believers in Jehovah. Maybe some of the Mormons will become true believers in the one God of heaven, not a multitude and a polytheistic conglomeration that they believe in. It's hard to deal with those people. They're too messed up on the person of God. People will be saved by the thousands after the rapture. But it is too late. T-O-O, too late. They will die. And these are the events that they will see with their own eyes. Our Father, we send this message out to you today, for you, and on the earth's behalf, that the world may hear your word, that they may understand, that they may prepare for this terrible time that's coming upon this earth and that is coming, as you know. Father, help us to glorify you with our lives at this time. I pray for all my students all over the world, in every nation, Canada, New Jersey, wherever they are, Texas, Pennsylvania, Europe, the Middle East, China, Korea, Japan, Philippines, New Zealand. Father, I pray for all of them, each and every life that's there that may be listening to your words today. They're using this for words of hope. Father, give them the hope. Many of them are in places that are not saved to be a Christian. Father, forgive me where I failed you. Help us to glorify you with our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.